This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network. Welcome.
Greetings and welcome to Sound the Shofar with the Watchman and Tower. Here is a clue to tonight's study. Hebrews Revelation of His Son, Part 5. Melchizedek Priest. It is a better testament, whose testator died, rose again, and ever liveth to make intercession for us according to the will of God. For he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday, the 22nd day of June, 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and this is Warn Radio, bringing you the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The readings in the Word this week are from Numbers chapter 19, verses 1 through chapter 22, verse 1, Judges chapter 11, verses 1 through 33, and the New Testament portion is Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 38. You can go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or gethealthyyoungliving.com to listen to all the shows and read the featured posts by The Watchman. This week, the featured posts are Preparing for the Deliberate Deception of That Wicked One, The Lawlessness, Mystery of Iniquity, Preparing the Way for Deliberate Deception and the Denial of That Wicked One. Today in America, we find a deliberate deception along with those who have a denial of that very same deception. American Vipers Destroying the Souls of Men. From the tree so falleth the seed, the tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity, James 3:6. Provocative and passionate incognito. Unheard of, provocative and passionate. Get the book that addresses the war of identity and deceit that is going on. Check out Incognito now. It is the latest in the books which have come forth. Certainly not a novice, and with a proven and reliable voice, the author, Dana G. Smith, takes you into Incognito. It is a war of identity and one of deceit. The book reveals a ruthless, corrupt, and evil struggle to deceive you today. While this will certainly lead to the Armageddon's Holocaust, this looming peril can also find you prepared. Through the Glass Darkly, Hope and the Transformation. Seeing through the glass darkly, I shall see all things face to face. Hope in the transformation from mere human that faces sin, death, and the grave, then to have the ultimate victory over the same sin, death, and the grave through Jesus Christ. Yes, it is the victory for us, the ultimate victory, who have believed in Christ. So go to warn-usa.com, gethealthyyoungliving.com, or danaglennsmith.com to read the latest articles by The Watchman and listen to the shows. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/warnradio and also on Twitter at hashtag WatchmanIS216, hashtag WarnRadio, or hashtag WGS_Watchman. And now I welcome in the Watchman for Sound the Shofar. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing great.
And we are here, another weekend. And as we said last night, this month has disappeared.
Yeah, I can't believe there's only one more week left.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the thing of it is, we've been in our rainy season. You know, growing up, I didn't know we had a rainy season in this part of the country, but we always had a snowy season. We've never had a rainy season. And for now, for a number of years, you know, we've been getting deluged with rain. And man, I'll tell you, we've gotten a lot of rain, and we've got flood watches out now for the entire weekend. We got more rain coming in than you can shake a stick at. But things are green, and the garden's growing, and the grass is growing, and the dog's getting wet, and, well, at any rate,
yeah,
everything seems to be doing okay. She don't get wet for very long because she gets let in, but we have had some downpours. We had a downpour this afternoon, and, man, it cut loose for 5 minutes like you'd have thought someone opened the buckets of heaven.
Today?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, there was nothing going on anywhere. All of a sudden, the clouds rolled in, and it's like, you know, remember that animation we saw on the Weather Channel, the way it dumped all that moisture?
Yeah,
That's really the way it looked. I mean, I was watching some of the roofs when it came down. It just like, you know, someone opened up Grand Coulee Dam and just poured it on top of us. I mean, not quite that, but you know what I mean. It was a good downpour, and then it stopped and got sunny, and everything disappeared, and I was able to barbecue this afternoon. So, dear. But at any rate, you know, our night crawlers like it. We've got a ton of night crawlers, among other things.
Yeah, they're hard to catch.
They are, but they do like all the rain. And, you know, we've got a lot of wildlife around here, but in the summer they tend to get ventured off into the prairie to eat because they don't need to be here. But we do have parts of this town that you'll find the deer right in town.
Yeah, that's, and turkeys too.
Yeah, and turkeys too. You know, if you're not careful, you run over a wild turkey on one of our busy thoroughfares because these turkeys are turkeys. They don't read English, they read turkey. Not Turkish, turkey. Well, at any rate, and we got the show done last night, uploaded everything, and then this morning I noticed that our internet was way, 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 way slow, so there wasn't much I could do it because I was in the last throes of uploading, and because it takes pretty much all night to upload our programs, our videos, and it got down to a thing. And I also noticed our tracker that we use on our websites, that is one of the companies we work with, they provide a lot of stuff for us. And they were telling us that the site went down at 3 a.m. And so by the time I found it out, I was up at 4. And we found out that the site had gone down, and they were working on it. They had a bunch of others that went down. So we had the internet that practically went down, and not quite, because it was still funneling through, but it was next to nothing. We lost probably 90% of the internet this morning. 90% probably. There was just a wee bit left, and that was enough to get the rest of that video uploaded. And I'm glad too, but it put us behind about 4 hours, and we didn't get this website up, I think, to about 11 today, 10:30 or 11, somewhere around in that. And we had one of our other friends of the ministry that helped us. They were over on the website and going to do some stuff for us, and it was down. And so they contacted me and let me know of that, so we was already on it. So at any rate, we got everything through, got through everything and plugging along. But we are looking at, you know, eventually making some changes to the websites, and we're not really sure what we want to do with them yet, you know, what's been in the news, and Tower, you and I talked about it, and I talk about it tonight because I want people to understand what we're facing. that if you're conservative and stuff like that, there's some of this stuff that these people just don't carry. They, you know, there's a logarithm, and I know that Google is infamous for changing their logarithms and their searches. And so it really has affected some of our volume over 2016. So, you know, we're looking at finding ways that we can promo everything. We were talking about it, and it's just like we got contacted, you know, some of the people that we're in contact with, they're talking about the same thing, and, you know, they need... You know, some of them need, you know, for every article, they need $50 just to try to get enough people to see it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and these are conservative websites. And the Health Ranger is still fighting a lot of the stuff that he's doing, and he's doing it through, he's creating a number of sites, and he has, but he's going to be doing a video site, and they had contacted us to... because we wanted to support him in that, so we told him that we would put stuff on it if, you know, if they wanted us to. And so we are going to be going over there. I don't know when, because they said that they'll call me. They've already contacted us once, but or twice, but it's going to be a bit before they get it ready. I don't have any details, but... you know, it's just the way it is, you know. I mean, when you start talking about $50, just $50 don't sound like much, but if you're putting out a lot of articles, that's a lot of money every day. Because most of these sites will put out 20 to 30 articles a day.
Yeah.
And if you get on Fox News, which, you know, the logarithm wouldn't affect them because they've got enough volume, enough stuff going on there and attraction that it won't even bother them. The main thing that this will bother is a lot of your smaller websites, and they're not small, they're just not corporate websites like Fox News and some of these others. So it definitely, and I know that Alex Jones was affected too, because he had sent out some emails talking about it. So, you know, but he has a lot of people that listen to his program. Although I noticed yesterday, and I don't follow him much, but I happened to see something on him on one of my on my news reader. It popped up. He wanted to get in the have a cage fight with Peter Fonda over what he said. So they had a picture of Peter Fonda and Alex Jones, and whenever these guys put this together, they always pick the picture that makes him look like he's crazy. And half the time when Alex Jones is doing stuff, he will deliberately put on stuff to make him look like he's crazy. He does that. He you know, the guy would have been an actor if he hadn't have done this. Because yeah. he really does get into role play, you know.
Oh, that's funny.
And so, yeah, it is, you know. But see, Peter Fonda did apologize, but...
Well, somebody, who was it, Mike Pence, said that he should be put in prison. He should be arrested for what he said.
Well, you know, the thing of it is...
They would have done that, too. They would have arrested somebody who's threatened Obama or any of the other past presidents.
Well, you know, Philadelphia... Tower many, many years ago when we were first on, there was a guy that had a ministry that worked on the street, and he would preach, and it was called Repent America. Now, I don't know if he's still going or not, but he lived in Philadelphia, and he would always show up at all the pride marches, and he used to say about how the Philly government there is pro-homosexual and anti anybody that stands up with the Bible, and he did go through some legal problems with him too. It was quite a struggle that he had. So yesterday when Breitbart had this picture of this guy that looked like 28, 30, kind of tall, skinny, black hair, holding a middle finger up as saying, welcome, you know, you're welcome to come to our city, and I'm welcoming you now to come to our city, and he's flipping him the bird.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Well, this happens to be...
depraved mind.
Yeah, this happens to be one of the duly elected people in Philadelphia, and he is homosexual. He's radical, and he hates, apparently hates Pence. But, you know, the thing of it is that... you know, America's not going to repent of some of its sin. It'll never do that. And so that's just the way it is. But, you know, Pence stood up not too long ago when he was criticized for something else. And he says, I'm happy to be persecuted for the name of Jesus Christ. And the guy, of course, this homosexual senator was... going through all the things, you know, we're a diverse group of homosexuals and queers and all, you know, it goes down the whole line. That's what he was saying.
Yeah.
You know, I frankly don't care who they are. Sin is sin, and homosexuality, lesbianism, and transgender, and all this other stuff is just the tip of the tentacle of the sin. I mean, you know, greed, idols, idol worship, abortion. I mean, you know, we could put a list up a mile long, and that doesn't mean that there's no sin in any other nation. But I don't live in any other nation. I live in this one. But, you know, the Lord said in Revelation 22, he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is wicked, let him be wicked still. He goes through that. You people need to read this, because he says, let them be wicked still.
Yeah, that's okay? Right.
I'm here, and I warn you, but I'm not going to come over and twist your arm to change. That ain't how it works. Now, some people in the church think that's the way it is. That isn't the way it is, and that isn't the way God has never done it. He's never done it like that, and one of the prime examples is Sodom and Gomorrah itself. You know, he warned them. They wouldn't repent. Moses and Abraham interceded, and they couldn't even find enough there to warrant being saved. So it's always been like that. When the prophets went up to warn Judah or Israel, the northern tribes, all Israel had to do was repent, and God would have forgiven them. See, that's all it's about,
right,
is repenting. So, you know, I mean, you're not offending me by doing it. I don't agree with it, but then that's, you know, you do whatever you feel is happy, and we'll see how that works out for you when we all stand before the good Lord, because he's the one I look to. And
amen.
I'm here to tell you that sin is what he will come down against, and there's all kinds of sin here. There's even sin in the church. But the difference between sin in the church is there's a lot of Christians in there who actually repented and are serving God. Now, you need to repent and serve God and walk in his ways. And for all those whore pastors out there that are telling these people it's okay to do some of these things, still be a Christian, you're going to burn in hell. Period. Woe unto thee, O harlot. So this is the way it is today in America. And, you know, I mean... you know, hey, if you want to do it, I've had people that that are friends, the people I knew, they were good people. You know, were homosexual. I don't have anything against them as people. There's a lot of talented people out there. But I can tell you what we don't need as Christians is you standing up like a bigot yourself and throwing around the middle finger at some guy like Pence who does have faith and will stand up, but he's just trying to do his job. And just because you don't like him not accepting maybe what you want to do. Well, see, you're in Philadelphia, so Philadelphia is going to have to answer. You know, I don't have to answer for what you're doing. You'll answer. And that's all there is to it. America will answer. You know, Erdogan in Turkey will answer for the way he's treating Pastor Brunson.
That's right.
You know, Iran and the Ayatollah in Iran will answer for the way they're treating people in that country. Pakistan, the Pakistani Supreme Court, all the imams there and the Muslims who have been killing Christians, who have killed that young boy and put him in... the brick kiln and burned him to death, or killed the man and the woman because they thought they had done something. They beat him up and killed him, then threw them in the brick kiln. Or Asa Bibi, who's still in jail and been in there 9 years on trumped up charges, you will pay. And so this is what this is about. And as Christians, I'm telling you, Christian today, that you need to get into Revelation, you need to read it, and you need to get in the last part of it. And he says, he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is wicked, let him be wicked still. Your job, Christian, is to be righteous, walk in the ways of the Lord, and do what he says, and let the wicked be wicked. That's the way it works. If that's what they want to do, fine. It doesn't mean you can't have friends with some of them. It doesn't mean anything to the kind, but that's the way it is. You're not going to change America like that, and it takes the power of God to deliver people, and people have to repent, period. So.
Amen, they do.
Yeah. So at any rate, we are going to be doing this here in a minute or two. You got anything else you want to cover?
Nope, I don't think so.
Okay, let's do this.
Okay, I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. Okay, we're Revelation, Hebrews, Revelation of His Son, Part 5, Melchizedek Priest. And we're in Hebrews chapter 7. And Paul is writing about Melchizedek in Hebrews 7:1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. Now he's talking about Melchizedek, and how the scripture today says that Christ was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And we're looking at the type. We're looking at why Melchizedek was there. And he became the type for the Son of God to come, which has no beginning and no end. And that's very important. Without father, without mother, without descent, nobody knew anything about him, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now, you know, when you read this, you know, there are people that can look into this and find a number of things. But we're interested in the verse not to make something out of Melchizedek, but to understand that the Son of God who came was without beginning and end. And when we say without father and without mother, that's talking about an earthly father and an earthly mother, without descent, not knowing where he came from. But see, the thing about Christ is that we talk about that in comparison because Christ had no beginning and end. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Although he was born of a woman, she was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, and his Father is God, our Father. And so, you know, we look at this typing of Christ, because he was not a priest after the order of the Levites. That would be after man. Christ was not after man. Now, see, many people try to make the fact that he was a man. He was born of a woman, yes, but she was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ, he was the eternal Son of God that entered in to that womb and was able to be born. And he was divine from the first part that he had come in there. But because he was, in that respect, born of a woman and in that fleshly temple, he had emptied himself of his former glory, But he knew his former glory, and he knew the Father. And he came directly from the Father. His Father had sent him. So, you know, he was tempted in all points like as we are. But make no mistake about it. We are sinners. We are part of the fallen human race. It is given unto us to die, and after this the judgment. Period. That's the way it is. And for all of these people that try to extend their life, the bottom line of it is that you're going to die one day in this body of death, as I call it, this clay has to be put off, because this body represents the fallen nature. Your mind is the fallen nature. Your body is part of the fallen nature. Now, the spirit on the inside of this body, which is you, if you are a Christian and you know him, that spirit has been sealed by the Spirit of God, and you are a child of the King as long as you believe. And you can quit. But so Christ definitely, and of course, you know, he went about as, you know, preaching. Many people, you know, when they saw the miracles he did, you know, the high priest, the Sanhedrin, even Shaul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote this book, didn't understand at the time. Paul didn't understand it until he went to Damascus. He was in the process of persecuting the church. But let's continue this. Now consider how great, now see, we did that, how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received the tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. In other words, what he's saying is that Melchizedek was before the giving of the law. He was before the Levites. He was before everything. And yet Abraham, upon seeing this king of Salem, which is interpreted king of peace, he gave him tithes, which the children of Israel, being descended out of Abraham, didn't pay tithes until God set it up at when he met him on the mount and gave them the law and set up the Levites and the temple. And so that's what Paul's getting at, that there is a different one. And if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there of another priest, that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Aaron was after the flesh. It was after the order of the fleshly line of the Levites. And remember, death came by the first Adam, and life was restored to us through the second Adam, who is Yeshua, Jesus Christ. And so this is what Paul is leading to, is that although there was a Levitical priesthood, and there was a high priest, and there was sacrifices, and they paid tithes, and they did a lot of things under the law, it was not perfection. They hadn't been perfected yet. God did not do that to say, well, you're perfected now and no need of anything else. No. Christ had to come because he had to give his life on the cross because of the sacrifice, the blemish free sacrifice of the Son of God. See, even an animal is not sufficient to remove the sin stains that's upon men. That was a temporary fix only. And the laws and everything were meant to reveal to Israel how holy this God was, and even to us when we look at it, but also to give us direction as which way that they need to be walking. But in no respect did it say that it was perfect. It was the former covenant. and a new one had to be made. And in 7:12, and Paul is going through all of this because he's trying to convince, the Hebrews. You know, now I'm sure that there was a few Gentiles that read this book, and it was probably a little deep for them. But see, he's trying to explain this as a way that the Hebrews would understand this. So it's really easy to take the book of Hebrews, if you don't understand the parts of the law and a lot of these issues, and misinterpret them totally and get a different slant on the book of Hebrews. But this book is written to the Hebrews to convince them of the priesthood of Christ, what he came to do, and how important it was to have another covenant. For the priesthood being changed, there is made necessity a change also of the law. For he is of whom these things are spoken, pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. So, and of course, we're getting back to Melchizedek here. And verse 15, and it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. And so you have this struggle between that which is seemingly eternal and that which is carnal and fleshly. And that's exactly what the law was, and even to this day the law is that way. By the works of the law, the keeping of the law, shall no flesh be justified. But even in saying that, Christ fulfilled the law in a perfect manner to make everything work together for the purposes of God. And after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. He's talking about Christ, who is made not after the law of carnal command, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now see, that is the prophecies concerning Christ. And he did come out of Judah. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but he also fulfills the loins of David, the Davidic king. David was a warrior king, and Christ is coming back as the greater son of David, going to be fulfilling that office to sit on the throne and put down the enemies that are there, the enemies of the Lord. And that's what he will do, and he will rule and reign for 1,000 years with us. Now, in verse 18, for there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God, inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. Now see, this is important, for the law made nothing perfect. It didn't make Israel perfect, didn't make the priest perfect by performing. Matter of fact, if we go back, we even seen that Aaron's son got killed because of a misappropriation of approaching the altar. Now, the law made nothing perfect, but it made a way for them to approach this holy God, and made a way for God to make a covenant with them. But look what happened when they fell away from the law, when they fell away from the covenant. The children of Israel, who rose to the top, especially under David, who was a warrior king, but David had a lot of blood on his hands, so he couldn't erect the temple. So it was up to Solomon, and Solomon's reign is the one that brought the zenith of glory and power to Israel. And because Solomon's heart fell away from the Lord in the latter part of his, it says his wives turned his heart away from the Lord, Because he married, a lot of times he was marrying to make covenants with other nations. And these women would bring their gods with them. I mean, if you're going to marry her, you got to bring her gods. So there was a lot of gods popping up. And as a result of Solomon falling away, the Lord divided Israel into the northern tribes, which were 10 tribes, and then the southern tribe, which was Judah and Benjamin, and then the Levites, who took the office of keeping the temple and the priest, went to Judah. But both of those nations, now divided, went into captivity for sins and not able to keep the law. And so there was a need. And there is no doubt that God sent the prophets to warn, and we get into Isaiah, there is a lot of prophecies about the coming of the Lord and what he had to come and do as the suffering servant. And he not only came as a suffering servant, but he came as the Son of God, he came as the Redeemer, he came as the consolation of Israel, and he's coming again. And so it says, inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now you see, the priests that were there could not die on the cross. They could not make anything. Even themselves, the high priest, on the Day of Atonement, he had to offer up the offering for himself, for his priest, and then they offered it up for Israel. The high priest could only enter into that Holy of Holies once a year and offer this main sacrifice. But today, now through Christ, we can enter into the Holy of Holies, approaching the Lord God, whereas it says that we can enter in boldly into the throne of grace so that we may find help in time of need. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And that testament, of course, is covenant. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. See, because his generation, Yahshua's generation, Jesus' generation, he was cut off. He died on the cross. He left instructions for the church after he was resurrected from the dead, seen alive by many infallible proofs, and he ascended to the right hand of God, where he ever lived to make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And he is called a priest after the order of Melchizedek, because he has no beginning and end. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That is who our Savior is. He was in the beginning with God. Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. Christ created everything, and there was not anything made that was not made by him. And so the type was perfectly made on purpose. When Abraham came across Melchizedek, that was not a mistake. God had planned that from the beginning for the type of which was to come. And Moses himself even said, there will arise another prophet just like me, speaking of the coming of the Lord. In verse 24, but this man, because he continueth ever or forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That is why we're here tonight. That is why we give the word out. That is why we say, even to those caught up in sin, you don't have to be caught up in sin. If you can put away your pride, if you can come to the Lord, if you can repent and come to Him and ask forgiveness and walk in His ways, you'll be okay. But the Lord says, as we know, because we cover this, we're covering John as well, and these, it's amazing when you get into the true Word of God and just go from verse to verse how the continuity of the Spirit and the anointing flows. Because you find that, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him would not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. But this is the condemnation, that they don't believe God, so they're condemned. They're under a curse right now. And the Lord says further in that verse that they're not going to come to the light because they love darkness. And so this is the struggle of light and darkness. And in the world today, we find a further thing that's going to happen in 2 Thessalonians 2, where the society will reject the love of truth. That is the gospel of our God and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, and everything that the gospel entails, and all the salvation, the redemption, and the love of God. This generation is going to reject, and we're seeing it already. Now, yes, we still have a lot of churches, Christian churches in America, and we have them around the world. But let me tell you, this world is on a collision course with Christianity and the Son of God. And this America is on a collision course with its roots of Christianity and the God who blessed this nation. This nation is on a course with judgment, and the church is on a course with persecution like you've never seen in this nation before. So don't tell me this nation is going to rise above. It will not rise above. And the chaos you see, and the sin you see, and the hate you see follows exactly what Paul talked about when he talked about the perilousness of these last days. If there's any word that you need to hear now, it is draw nigh to the Lord. You need to keep the testimony of Christ on your lips, the faith of the Son of God in your heart, and trust in our God and our Father as never before, and let His Spirit guide you. Let His Word be unto you as that Word that is permanent and eternal, and let it not depart out of your lips. And don't worry about what the world's doing. You keep your eye on the Lord. Because Christ, Hebrews 7:25, is able to save them to the uttermost because He's interceding. He is a high priest. For such a high priest became us, who is holy and harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. That's Paul's description of the Son of God. A high priest. A holy high priest, a harmless high priest, an undefiled high priest, separate from sinners, made higher in the heavens. And not only that, He's not like the human priests, not like the high priests of Israel at all. It says of Him, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered himself up. He's not going to go to the cross again. He's coming back and he's going to put down his enemies. And we hear the stories and we hear the fairy tales, you know, of all these messiahs who claimed to be Christ, walking on the earth again. He isn't going to walk on the earth again like that. He's already come. He's coming now in power. You try to follow a false Christ down here right now during this time, and you wind up in the perdition of hell, the destruction of the sinners. And you can thank God that Christ did this once and for eternally. And see, that's because it had to be sealed in heaven on the testimony, on the mercy seat, before God, in heaven. Because Moses was plainly told, make sure that you make everything in the temple exactly as you are told to do, because it is a mirror of what was in heaven. And you see Christ standing before the Father in Revelation. That's what he's there for. It gives you a picture. That is after, being crucified, resurrected from the dead. That's when he ascended in glory. He was able to complete all the requirements of the law. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity. But the word of oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. See, that's even our preachers today, our prophets today. They're all men, or they're women. They're human. And guess what? They can sin. They can make mistakes. What do you do when a priest makes a mistake? He asks the Lord to forgive him and moves on. Your pastor, your preacher. I remember one time our pastor, who had pastored for a long time. We were in his church for a long time. We went to Bible school. We were one of, I think, 9 couples that went into the ministry. And we came back and they were doing an honor thing for him. And I stood up and testified. But you know, what he meant in our life. But he told me many a time in the church when I said, thank you, Pastor, for what you've done. You know, he says, well, I'm a man just like you. I put on my pants one leg at a time. You know, he was just a pastor with the love of God and the love of people who wanted to bring people to the Lord. And he told me, he said, son, you have to let them do what they want to do. Even as a pastor, you can't make them do anything. You can pray, you can preach, you can do a lot of things, but you can't make them do anything. They've got to willingly want to do it. And he was right. You can't willingly will America to be better. You can't take a sinner and slap him up and down and say, come on now, be like me. It don't work that way. No man comes to the Son except the Father draw him. That's in John. It's a battle. But you can thank God. Because the Son offered himself up once and forevermore. He fulfilled the law. He's never going to go to the cross again. He triumphed over all principalities and powers forevermore. You can stand up and pray for deliverance. You can pray for people to be healed. You can cast out demons. You can do signs and wonders in his name because he has conquered every principality and power there is. On heaven, or in heaven, on earth, and beneath the earth. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. In Revelation, he is the Almighty. Woe unto those who do not believe it. Now in Hebrews 8. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. He's summing it up. I love this teaching on this. This is, we have such a high priest who is set at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. You know, if you're going to have, let's put it this way, okay? Say you wanted to talk to the president. Well, you don't have anybody there, so your chances of talking to the president, pretty nil. But what if one of your friends happened to be one of his spokesmen, and he was appointed? And he was a good friend of yours, so you have his number. So you call him up, say, hey, I need to talk to the president about this. And he says, well, it's kind of unusual. He says, well, this is what I need to talk. And the guy says, well, that sounds good. I'll mention it to him. See, that's the way we would do it here. But see, the Son of God, he's at the right hand of the Father, ever living, to make intercession for you and me and everybody else. Have you ever figured? How does he pray for everybody? Well, John gives us a picture of it. You get into John 17 and 18. He prays for the church. One of the prayers was, I pray thee, Father, that you would not take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. That evil means the devil, the evil, the dark one. So that's a prayer that I pray. Father, remember. For our Lord prayed, I pray thee, Father, that you would not take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. Keep my, and then I mention the names of my family and anybody else. I said, keep them from the evil. There's a few other scriptures I pray in there, but see, this is what your the Son of God does. This is what the Lord does. He is there. It's an amazing thing. So he is set at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens, semicolon. Now see, Paul in his writing does this a lot. It's connected with a lot of semicolons and commas and conjunctions. So he's at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens, that's one description, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. Through the cross, the Lord pitched this true tabernacle, and this tabernacle is you. Christ in us, the hope of glory. The kingdom of God is within us. The ecclesia, the called out ones, the church is us. And when you get a bunch of us, three or more in his name, actually two or three gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. That's church, folks. It's not because of the man-made titles of the denominations. It's not because they've managed to change the truth of the Bible and put in fairy tales and convinced you that those are true. It's not because they are in nice fancy buildings and a nice place to sit your butt on a Sunday morning and have a preacher that's only going to preach 40 minutes because you want to get to the diner before everybody else does. No. There is a true sanctuary, and he's the minister. There is a true tabernacle, and the Lord pitched it. The Lord is the first fruits, and we who follow him, we're the other fruits. And this is what Paul is describing. This is your high priest. And this is important. If you're going through a hard time, folks, understand this portion of Hebrews. This is written for you. You going for a through a hard time? You don't think you can make it? Well, you have got a minister, an intercessor, a high priest who knows what you're going through, and you can depend on him. He will give you strength to get through it. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, whereof it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. See, that's all we could do here on earth. We offer gifts, you know, and they did that according to the law. They would offer the sacrifices. They would walk in the ways of the law. They would do these things on earth. The high priest and the priests would do their various work that they had to do. Everything was an example and a shadow of heavenly things, those things that are in heaven. That's why Moses was told, make sure you do everything exactly, because I've got a mirror in heaven. But Paul is getting to the point, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. And this is where he's going with this. There had to be another covenant. The law was temporary in that respect. It didn't firm up your redemption at all. But it provided a way for those who followed the law, who were good, and who kept this faithfully. But see, they also had faith. And there's two big examples besides Moses, and that's Joshua and Caleb. For God said that they had a different spirit than the other children of Israel. For these two believed God. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with him, he says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now you notice he says the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Those are the two houses. That's split. He's talking to them after the split. And remember, within that is Joseph, and out of Joseph came Ephraim, and Ephraim had the blessing on him rather than Manasseh, and that blessing was that in him would all the nations of the earth be blessed, the same blessing that flowed through Abraham. And it is through Ephraim that we see that the Gentiles would be blessed, that they would find redemption. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'm putting that in there. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Paul himself even said, there will be no male or female, Jew or Gentile, but all one in Christ. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now you see, once you get into the millennial reign of Christ and move forward into eternity, all of that will be fulfilled. during the millennial reign, everybody will know about him. Well, even today in America, a lot of people know about the Lord. There's a lot of people with head knowledge, but no heart knowledge, no heart to follow him. And he will be merciful, but the time of grace and mercy is going to be ending one day. Hebrews 8:13, and that, he saith, a new covenant. He has made the first, now that which he has made the first old, and now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Hebrews 9. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. Now see, he's going into all of this, into the in-depth of the priesthood. And for there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the gold pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded in the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubim, bims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. That was just the beginning of it. There is an order in which to bring man to redemption, and the law was established. The types and the shadows were established to tell us the story, to let us know, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Now see, it couldn't make him perfect. Christ is perfect. He is the perfect high priest, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances opposed on them till the time of Reformation. That's all it was. Meats, drinks, divers washings, and carnal ordinances. Now see, today, the children of Israel, that's all they know, many of them. And there's another son, the son of Ishmael, who is another son. But the promise went through Isaac. And you take that side, they also have their own carnal ordinances and everything that they think will get them to heaven. There's many religions that do that, carnal ordinances. We have people in India that'll wash in the Ganges River, thinking it'll remove sins. I think that's the river. There's a lot of people that try to do a lot of things to get cleansed. But there's only one who can cleanse you, and that's Christ. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the Holy of Holies, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Perfect sacrifice. eternal redemption. Perfect perfection, completion, fulfillment of the law. And if you look at Christ and you just believe he's a good teacher or he's just a man or just a prophet or just a this or that, you've missed the boat. There's a lot of people that believe in Jesus. You can find millions of Muslims who believe that he was a good prophet, but he was less than the prophet Muhammad. They'll never make it to heaven, ever, without Christ, without accepting him and repenting and coming to him. And every week we report, and many of those reports come out of the Muslim areas, of Muslims being gloriously saved and healed and delivered. This is what the war is about in these last days, and it's not just Muslims that are getting saved. But I'm here to tell you that if you think America is going to be saved because we had the Constitution and we had all these forefathers there and we've done all this stuff all these years and we're Americans, you're crazy. This earth is being shaken to the core. And I guarantee you, everyone who is alive on this earth when this thing comes down, every one of them, will have to make a personal decision whether to follow the dark one or not. This judgment will be worldwide. It's hard to believe that we're there now. We're not completely there, but we're on that road. And in America, the hatred that you see in the division, I would to God it didn't exist, but it does. And a house divided will not stand. Even our Lord said that about Satan. Satan cannot be against Satan. For how could Satan stand? Even in the kingdom of darkness, they're not divided. And in heaven, they're not divided either. The only division that you see in this whole thing is in the hearts of men and women on this earth today. And they're all clinging to what they think's going to get them to that next level of perfection. God help them. He already did through the cross. Verse 12, neither by the blood of bulls and of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God? And he says, purge your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God. And that's the same call today. Purge your conscience, America, from dead works and serve the living God. Stop messing around and come to Christ. And for this cause, he, Christ, is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. We were under a death sentence. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And again it is written, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, it is written again, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So all have sinned. You're going to die. You're going to face judgment. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That means after you put off this mortal coil, this life, this fleshly body, your spirit will die. It will face judgment. But Christ came so you wouldn't have to. For where a testament is, and we are in the New Covenant, the New Testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. That testator is Jesus Christ, Yahshua HaMashiach. He's the one that died. He was resurrected from the dead. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. If you have a will, it doesn't do any good until you die. And in order to redeem men, that will, that testament, that covenant had to go into effect. So he died for your sins, shedding his blood. And God said, if they will believe, and that's where the faith, and there is a law of faith that is talked about. And that law of faith is what goes into action. We are saved by grace through faith. But in this, that faith is based upon the fact that for without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In order to have faith, in order to come to God, you have to believe that he exists, and if you can't believe he exists, there's no way you can be saved. But if you can believe he's there, believe he exists, and you come to him by faith, he's a rewarder of those who will diligently seek him. And through Christ, if you will believe on Christ, he'll forgive your sins when you ask him to forgive you. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats and water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. But you had to do that every year, the high priest had to offer up for the sins of the people. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves were better sacrifices. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God. Now see, that's where he has to appear, to make atonement and intercession for you. Nor yet that he should offer himself up often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. We had to put Christ up on that cross every year. If he hadn't have done that. That's what it would have taken for a human. But Christ did it once. He was once offered to bear the sins of many. That's what I say. You got to be careful about the doctrines you're listening to in some of these churches and some of the biggest denominations, the biggest churches on the face of this earth with multitude of millions of followers don't know the truth. And there's no way you're going to tell them any different. But you don't have to die and go to hell. You don't have to die in your sins. I've said this a lot. He's willing to forgive. He's willing to redeem. He died for you. He didn't die for you to condemn you. He died so that you would have a way and you could repent. Requires repentance. But as the Lord himself said, people won't come to him who is the light because they love darkness. They love their sins. They love the deeds of darkness. You know, and that's where we're at. You know, and if you think about who he's saying this to, he's talking to Hebrews, you know, to Jews. And you know, he's going through the law. He's going through all this stuff. And so with that, I just lost my screen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for watching over us. Lord, bless your people. Feed them, Father, in Jesus' name. So, okay, Tower.
What happened?
I don't know. Lost the screen. This has happened before on this, and I don't know what the problem is.
Does that mean you lost the show or lost the feed? Or
no, everything's still on, but I'm trying to trying to get it back.
Okay, well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We're glad you do whenever you do. May God richly bless you through this teaching and draw you closer to him. We love you and we're thankful for each and every one of you. God bless you. And good night.
Good night, everybody. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.